of Philippians, as you recall, was all about Paul talking to a church that was faithful, that was trying to do their best, and giving them guidance on how to continue to walk rightly with him. So for the last few weeks, we've been talking about what that would look like for us. We talked, first of all, about Bible study. Bible study isn't just something you do because I'm a Christian and I'm supposed to read my Bible. The implication is Bible study. You need to actually care about understanding what the word means. So Bible study classes, reading your Bible, all of that thing. And then we talked about stewardship. The giving that you do can be your time, your talent, or your treasures. But you need to be intentional about that. Not because we need your time, talent, or treasure, although we do. It's because God wants you to commit those things to him as an act of worship. We talked about figuring out on your tithe. Just pick a number, whatever number you want to use, and steadfastly for 3 months, no matter what happens, you give that much money every week. And at the end of 3 months, just see how that worked out for you. And if it worked out for you, bump it up a little bit. So you see, it doesn't matter what number you start with. It's about the dedication and the stick-to-it stuff, right? And then we talked about evangelism. The name of the game is to expand the kingdom. We just prayed, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come is about getting more and more people to get out from under the curse of eternal death and enter into the blessing of eternal life. And people need to know that, and we need to be the people to tell them about that. So we end up our 4 weeks on strategies for the Christian life. We're going to talk about prayer. So all of these things are meant to be, this is what you're supposed to be like. Not just interesting things. Being a Christian is a thing that you do, not a thing that you become. Christianity is an active thing. There's supposed to be spiritual fruit in your life. Jesus talks about that over and over again. So we're going to talk about prayer, but you might say, well, Pastor, you talk about prayer every single week. Well, today we're going to do this a little bit more in depth. As we look at our series this morning, we come to prayer. For most Christians, believe it or not, this is one of the most challenging areas of their spiritual discipline. It is one thing to read the scripture because we get the instant benefit of knowledge and insight. But prayer is one of those things which requires faith. We are praying to someone we cannot see, and we're expecting an answer that we cannot control. So let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your word not to be entertained or enlightened. We come to your word to be changed. Father, we pray that as we stick to the literal word of God in your book, that we will absorb it in a way that changes our life. So as we talk about praying, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds to make us different in the way you would have us be. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn that down a little bit. So we're praying to someone we can't see and expect an answer we can't control. And people think that's foolishness. You're praying to somebody. One of the biggest objections to faith in any respect is if you can't see it, touch it, and feel it, then it doesn't exist, which is patently foolish. Because I can list you a number of things that you can't see, touch, or feel, and you know for a fact that they exist. Look into your own life and ask yourself, is there someone that you love? And then I would ask you to show me the love. And you say, well, I do this for the person and that for the person. No, that's not what I ask you. What I ask you is to show me the love, not the result of the love, but the love itself. And you would say, well, that's crazy because you can't actually see love. Well, therefore, love doesn't exist? Well, of course it does. Heroism actually exists. Well, of course, you know, that's when somebody does something. No, that's what they do. But the heroism isn't something you can see, touch, and feel. And I could go on and on and on. So the argument that we can't see, touch, feel God, that he's not there, is not a good argument. So we're praying to someone we cannot see, and we have to trust that he's actually there and he's listening. F.B. Myers, the author of a great little book, it's called The Secret of Guidance, said this, the great tragedy of life is not unanswered prayer. but unoffered prayer. We don't pray enough. So if we're going to be honest this morning, we've got to admit that prayer is, for the most part, an undisciplined area of our spiritual life. We forget to pray, and then we remember, and then we pray when we need something, and prayer becomes the great cosmic vending machine. I'm going to put in a prayer, and God's going to do something for me. But that's not how it works. It's sporadic at best. It's erratic most of the time. It's an untapped resource. It's an unexplored continent, prayer is, where there's treasures all over the place if we just get into the habit. It's talked about more than anything else and practiced less than anything else. Did you know that one of the best-selling book in all of history is the Bible? And it's probably one of the least read books. You could go to most houses and there's a Bible somewhere in the house and it's dusty. So we know that it's something, but we don't really treasure it like we should. So what are we going to do? Our text this morning is found in the book of Colossians chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 4. I could just use one verse, but I'm going to read a little bit more because the richness and fullness of it is what we want to look at. Because in Colossians number 2:4-6, it says this. This is Paul. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Well, it seems like it's just the first verse that talks about prayer, but look at the sense of what he's saying. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Pray. And being watchful that you're doing it with thanksgiving. You're talking to someone who has graced you and given you eternal life. So our prayer should be, that's why we always start with thanksgiving and praises, because no matter what else is going on in your life, you're saved. You're going to spend eternity with Christ. So we pray with that in mind. And it says, and at the same time,